ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. బ్రహ్మసూత్రాస్ చాప్టర్ 3 పాద 4 చాప్టర్ 4 పాద 1 ఆవృత్యధికరణం ఆవృత్తి అసకృత్ ఉపదేశాత్ ఆవృత్తి అసకృత్ ఉపదేశాత్ విసా ది ఫస్ట్ సూత్ర ఆఫ్ ది ఫస్ట్ అధికరణం ఆఫ్ ద ఫోర్త్ చాప్టర్ ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ క్లాస్. నౌ వి విల్ గో టు ది సెకండ్ సూత్ర లింగాచ్చ లింగాచ్చ సెకండ్ సూత్ర ఫస్ట్ పాద ఫోర్త్ చాప్టర్ 479th రన్నింగ్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర. సో లెట్ అస్ ఫస్ట్ సీ ఎ బ్రీఫ్ ఇంట్రొడక్షన్ టు దిస్ సూత్ర. నౌ సమ్ మోర్ సపోర్టివ్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్స్ ఆర్ గివెన్ ఇన్ దిస్ సూత్ర. లింగ ప్రమాణం, లింగ ప్రమాణం మీన్స్ అన్ ఇండైరెక్ట్ ఇండికేషన్ హ్యాస్ ది సపోర్ట్. లింగాచ్చ ఇస్ ద సూత్ర. సో లింగ ప్రమాణం మీన్స్ అన్ ఇండైరెక్ట్ ఇండికేషన్ హ్యాస్ ది సపోర్ట్. Indirect clue that indicates repetition. If you remember the previous sutra, it was talking about avrittihi. Avrittihi means repetition. So indirect clue that indicates repetition is given in this sutra. And Shankaracharya says, where Tattvamasi Mahavakya is said in Chandogya Upanishad, it was repeated so many times in the 6th chapter, 8th section. Repeated so many times. And the, for example, in the 7th sutra and the 7th mantra of that section, saya yeshaha anima etadatmyagum idagum sarvam tat satyam sa atma tattvamasi shvetaketo iti bhuya eva ma bhagavan vijnapayatiti tata swamyeti hovacha. So this tattvamasi shvetaketo was repeated so many times. And also in the first chapter of Chandogya, 5th section, 2nd mantra, there also it reflects upon the rays of the sun. And you will have many suns if you look at that. So it's also like repetition, like many suns. Atakalu ya udgitaha sa pranavoyaha pranavaha sa udgita ityasavva aditya udgita eva pranava vomiti hyesha swaranneti. So in all these mantras, in Chandogya Upanishad, treating of meditation on the Udgita, the text repeats the meditation on the Udgita, viewed as the sun, because its result is one sun only, but it reflects upon its rays, so many sun rays. It enjoys a meditation on his manifold rays as leading to the possession of many suns. This indicates the repetition of meditation is very well known in the Shruti itself. And what holds good in this case holds good for other meditation also. Tattvamasi is repeated so many times. Repetition would indeed be useless for a person who is able to realize the true nature of Brahman, even if the Mahavakya Tattvamasi is said only once. Even by revealing Tattvamasi only once, that person will be able to understand. But such advanced souls are very, very, very rare. Ordinary people who are deeply attached to the body and the objects cannot attain realization of truth by a single enunciation of that. For such persons, repetition is of use. So the erroneous notion, I am the body consciousness, that can be destroyed only through constant meditation or repeated practice. So knowledge can dawn only when there is incessant and frequent meditation. Repetition has the power of annihilating the erroneous idea gradually. Meditation should be continued till the last trace of body consciousness is destroyed. Body consciousness is right from birth for every one of us. To destroy it, very difficult. when the body consciousness is totally annihilated, then Brahman shines itself in all its pristine glory and purity. So the meditator and the meditated, they become one at that stage. So the individuality vanishes in toto, totally it vanishes. In Taittiriya Upanishad, in the third chapter, second mantra, it says, we find that Bhrigu goes several times to his father Varuna and asks him again and again to be taught the nature of Brahman. Adi hi bhagavo brahmeti, so many times. So the injunction about repetition is meant for those people who lack in purity and subtle understanding and in whom a single enunciation is not sufficient. So the individual soul is taught step by step to be subtler than the body. Annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya, all that. So till it is realized as pure Chaitanya. We observe that people, by repeating again and again a particular sentence, which on the first hearing had understood imperfectly only, gradually rid themselves of all misconceptions and arrive at full understanding of the true sense. Even for us, when we read again, some things become more clear. I always am reminded of Mahasannidhanam, who told me once, Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, he has done Parayanam so many hundred times. And still he would say, if I read again, I'll see something new. All these, they establish the conclusion that in case of cognition of the Supreme Brahman, instructions leading to such realization may be repeated. So Lingat, Lingatcha is the sutra. Lingat means this is known from the scriptural clues, linga, or marks, or pointers. We can call lingam as any one of them. Cha means also. So this is known means Brahman Pratyaya Avritti is to be done. That is known. It is a known fact. Now, let us see the significance of these words. Lingat. Lingat means scriptural clues, by the scriptural clues. So, the Chandogya Upanishad Tattvamasi Abhyasa, that is to be done. Tattvamasi Abhyasa. Repetition is known by another word, Abhyasa also. So, the next word is Cha in this sutra. So, Cha is Kanyang also. It means it is another supportive pramana. First it was Upadesha Pramanam in the previous sutra. Now it is Linga Pramana. Now let us see some more points discussed by Shankara. Some other interesting points. One point is, he raises a Purvapakshi in his discussion who says, what is the benefit of repeating a vritti when it deals with jnanam? You know, he brings it not some word, vritti, he brings the thought. What is the benefit of repeating a thought, a vritti, when it deals with jnanam? Because when you repeat the thought, object is not going to change or improve. When you repeat the thought, the object is going to be the same. Again, if Brahman, what is the object here? Brahman. So if Brahman cannot improve, Brahma jnanam also cannot improve. Because knowledge is always true to the object. If the object does not change or improve, there cannot be any improvement in the moksha also. Because moksha palam, so Brahma jnanam leads to moksha. So why should we repeat Aham Brahmasmi so many times? Who asks? Purvapakshi. If you say it is for generation of knowledge, and if one time pramana vritti does not produce knowledge, how can repetition will produce knowledge? So when the first time, because it's pramana, when that doesn't provide knowledge the first time, how repetition is going to produce a new knowledge? Sattvamasi is same. So the pramana should produce knowledge or should not produce knowledge. If it does not produce knowledge first time, any number of repetition, it cannot produce knowledge. In the case of karma, repetition will improve the efficacy of karma. When it comes to karma, it is okay. But when it comes to jnanam, it is not the case. It is so in the case of meditation also. More repetition, for example, of rudram will give more phalam since it comes under karma. Normally they say, no, ekadasha rudram, then lagu rudram, maha rudram, ati rudram, all those things. In chandi, there is ayudha chandi also. So when it is the case, what is the use of avritti? This is the argument, repetition. This is the argument of Purvapakshi. And here it is not karma, but it is ajnana nivrityartha. It is not karma, but it is to remove the ignorance. So it is logical. It is ill. So according to Purvapakshi, this is illogical to say that avritti is needed. And Shankaracharya says it is necessary because of shruti, yukti, and anubhava pramana. So Shankaracharya tries to defend by saying that it is true because of shruti pramanam, yukti pramanam, and anubhava pramana. And what is the shruti pramanam he has in mind? Vyasacharya ki, his shruti pramanam supports avritti even in the case of jnanam. We saw in the last lecture itself in Chandogya Upanishad, saya yeshaha anima etadagni mitakam sarvam tat satyakam sa atma tattvamasi shweta keto. So iti bhuye eva ma, so this is repeated so many times, we just read this mantra. So the next support is yukti and anubhava. So we saw shruti pramanam from Chandogya Upanishad. Now next support is yukti pramanam and anubhava pramanam. And the anubhava pramanam is what? Even in worldly knowledge, when we try to get knowledge from a book or an article, we find that when we read it repeatedly, we are able to gather complete knowledge. I just mentioned about even Mahasannidhanam reading Brahma Sutra Vashyams. So you get more clarity by repetition. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, repeated reading gives clarity. That is a fact proved by our own experience, both in material knowledge and also in spiritual knowledge. Once it is experienced as a fact, don't try to logically negate the fact. When it is accepted as a fact, don't try to logically negate a fact. Fact is a fact. You use logic to support a fact and not to negate a fact. It is an experienced fact. How can you negate? Then let us come to the logic, the yukti pramana. The Purvapakshi says, in the case of worldly knowledge, perhaps repetition may be useful. Okay, I agree. Because in the world, what happens? We talk about the things which have got several aspects. First time, I see one thing, and second time, I see some other amsha of the same thing. Some other aspect of the same thing, I see it second time. So it goes on. In worldly teaching, object of teaching has more parts. And each time, particular aspect will be clear. When I say more parts, more aspects. Third time, you see some other aspect. Fourth time, some other aspect. In the case of Brahman, why do you talk of avritti? Since Brahman does not have parts. There are not so many aspects for Brahman. So why to talk about avritti at all? Purvapakshi asks. Father Shankaracharya says, you think I don't think about this? The misconceptions regarding Brahman are many. Brahman doesn't have many aspects, but the misconceptions of Brahman are many. There are so many false features superimposed on Brahman. One is Jivatma. Jivatvam is superimposed on Brahman. Ishwaratvam is superimposed on Brahman. Worldly superimposition. And with regard to body also, so many superimpositions are there. So many misconceptions are there. Each time, each misconception, by doing this repetition, each misconception is removed. So repetition is needed to get pure knowledge. As even misconceptions go away, the clarity is more and more. There is no change in knowledge. That is true. But there is clarity born out of repetition. The Shruti Pramanam, Yukti Pramanam, Anubhava Pramanam, they all have proved that repetition improves our thinking. The Avritti is presented as a commandment, as an injunction, or a vidhi, as in Karmakanda. There are so many vidhis. Here also is given as an injunction. And once a vidhi comes in Veda, there is always a karta. Because if there is a vidhi, there is always a karta towards whom the vidhi is directed. Vidhi is given to whom? There must be a person and that karta. Otherwise, this vidhi cannot survive. Vidhi survives because there is somebody to follow the vidhi. I cannot say you fly, for example, not through the airplane. You should fly, but you should not use an airplane. This will not exist because one cannot fly. The vidhi does not exist in such a case. So when Jnanakanda gives avritti vidhi, repetition vidhi as an injunction, this vidhi can be exploited by Purvapakshi. The moment vidhi comes, karta is kept in mind. That's why I hope you see where I'm going with it. The moment vidhi comes, Purvapakshi brings in a karta. Karta should be kept in mind. With him, then kartrutvam comes. When you bring karta, kartrutvam has to come. Kartrutvam, that I. And then it will appear. Vedanta accepts kartrutvam as a fact. Because we always say what? Akarta, abhokta. Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam are not for Brahman. And now Vedanta tries to advocate kartrutvam. Vedanta accepts kartrutvam as a fact. So without promoting kartrutvam and karta, Veda cannot give any injunction. See where Purvapakshi comes. He takes it without kartrutvam and karta, Veda cannot give any injunction whatsoever. I have to do vritti avritti. Vritti is thought. I have to do vritti avritti. Therefore, I am a doer. I am a karta. The doership may get indirectly confirmed. Vedanta itself promotes doership. Therefore, Shankaracharya gives a warning here. Vedanta has got two teachings. One is kartrutva nivritti. Kartrutva nivritti. Individuality nivritti. And there is a secondary seeming teaching which supports kartrutvam and individuality also. So both the teachings are there. Similarly, even in the Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti, they indirectly support the individuality also. There are certain portions of Vedanta that support individuality. We should not get attached to secondary and ignore the primary meaning. They are all set for different purposes. So don't linger on those meanings and forget the primary meaning. This can be linked to ahankara alone. All these individualities are linked to what? Only ahankara. And freedom from all the karma is for ahankara only and not for atma. Freedom for all the karma for what? For ahankara only, not for atma. Similarly, freedom from punarjanma is also for ahankara only, not for atma. Videha mukti is also for ahankara only. Videha mukti is also for ahankara only. The entire spiritual journey, starting from samsari, adhikari, jnani, jivan mukta, videha mukta, they are all for what? For all ahankara. And every lay person is interested in this ahankara journey. These are all very interesting facts, but very difficult to swallow immediately. Every lay person is interested in this ahankara journey. Shastra clearly says that a jnani alone will become a jivan mukta. And jnani alone will become a videha mukta. And be free from all the rebirth and all that. And be liberated once for all. This is the arja of a true seeker. To be liberated once for all. But what happens is when he comes to jnanam and understands Vedanta. And what is the jnanam? For example, when he comes to jnanam and understands Vedanta, what is the jnanam? It is that I have two natures. This all we have discussed in great detail in earlier lectures. Not in Brahmasutra itself, in other places, but I alluded to them in Brahmasutra. One is our lower nature, the body, and the other is our higher nature, Atma. Part of this knowledge is that I, the Atma, am ever free and Ahankara is Mithya. I, the Atma, am ever free and Ahankara is Mithya. When I come to the state of a jnani, ahankara is reduced to mithya. Ahankara is reduced to mithya. Shastra asks me to do the avritti of this jnana. So I hope you are with me. Shastra asks me to do avritti of this jnana. Ahankara is reduced to mithya. And jnana avritti means ahankara mithyatva avritti. Repetition of the mithyatvam of ahankara. Jnana avritti means ahankara mithyatvam avrittihi. Once ahankara mithyatvam I focus on, then naturally ahankara's importance is reduced and atma satyatvam is focused. It naturally happens. Once I come to the state of jnani, my focus is on atma tattvam only and thereby defocusing from ahankara. And then the next stage of jivan mukti and the last stage of videha mukti also will have to be focused if I have to do jnana avritti. Both of them have to be defocused also if you have to do jnana avritti. All of them will lead to focusing on atma only. Ahankara jivan mukta, ahankara jivan mukti all become mithya and they all become vyavaharas. Ahankara jivan mukta, ahankara jivan mukti, they all become mithya and they are all vyavaharas only. When the jnani does jnana avritti, should he focus on atma, which is paramarthika satyam, or jivan mukti, or videha mukti, which are vyavaharika satyam? Jivan mukti, videha mukti are also, they are satyam, but vyavaharika satyam. Which is paramarthika satyam is atma. Shastra asks us to do jnana avritti by revealing the mithyatvam of ahankara. So jivan mukti, videha mukti, they all come under ahankara only. By revealing the mithyatvam of ahankara, shastra indirectly tells me not to focus on jivan mukti and videha mukti, which means focusing on ahankara or focusing on mithya is losing sight of satyam, which means giving up of brahma avritti. You have not become Brahman by becoming Jivan Mukta. You are already Brahman. Focusing on ahankara or focusing on mithya is losing sight of satyam, which means giving up of Brahma. It means dropping the focus from satyam, and this means Brahma avritti is dropped. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, a jnani does not focus on Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti. And they are the focus only before coming to jnana. After becoming a jnani, focus cannot be jivan mukti and videha mukti, but should be on atma or brahma. Jivan mukti and videha mukti happens to be a byproduct of brahman focusing. It is avantara phala. They are spin-off of ahankara for my focusing upon brahman, that pratyaya avritti. Then Shankaracharya, what does he say? When you do Brahma Pratyaya Avritti, don't ask whether I, the Ahankara, are doing the Avritti. Don't focus on Ahankara, which is doing the Avritti, but focus on Brahman, which is the focus of Avritti. I hope you are with me. Don't focus on Ahankara, which is doing the Avritti, but focus on Brahman, which is the focus of Avritti. Don't focus on the subject of Avritti, but the object of avritti, which is Brahman here. The moment you focus on videha mukti, then you do wrong. Always concentrate on Brahman and not on anything else. Even after studying Vedanta, we tend to judge the status of ahankara and then complain this and this and that. And the Shastra says, focus on the teaching that I am not ahankara and own up with Brahman. Always focus on I am not ahankara, and then ahankara will get mukti. Before we get mukti, we want to give mukti to our ahankara. Do sadhana and then one will get mukti. This is the phalam promised by Ishvara. This injunction also one should not misinterpret. One should understand this clearly. These are all very, very subtle concepts. Vedanta says, do avritti. That means Vedanta is commanding me. You know, people can think in so many ways, right? Vedanta says, do avritti means it is commanding me. Command must be given to a karta, as I mentioned earlier. Who can fulfill that commandment? Purvapakshi says, the very fact Vedanta commands me to do, that means in the vision of Vedanta, I am karta only. That means aham brahmasmi is not the teaching. And therefore, Shankaracharya says, from the commandment, if you take I am the karta, it is an implied meaning. Whereas I am akarta is the direct teaching of Vedanta. The direct teaching is more powerful than the other one. Therefore, Aham Brahma Asmi should be focused. This is the technical aspect. This can be extended to all others also. So with this, the second sutra is also over. So the first Adhikaranam consisting of only two sutras. We saw the first sutra in the last class. And now the second sutra is also over. Now let us go to the next Adhikaranam. Second topic of this Pada. Atmatva Upasana Adhikaranam. Atmeti tu upagacchanti grahayanti cha. Atmeti tu upagacchanti grahayanti cha. Third sutra, first pada, fourth chapter, 480th running Brahma Sutra. This sutra prescribes the process of meditation. Now let us give a general introduction to this adhikaranam itself. This is the second adhikaranam with only one sutra, a very small adhikaranam. And the previous adhikaranam, it was said that one should repeat Brahma Pratyayam, thought here, vritti. Now a question might come, whether Brahman should be visualized as an object or as subject non-different from me. These are all questions we have already, we should say, oh, it's all subject and all that thing. You should not objectify Brahman, all that we have been telling. Whether Brahman should be visualized as an object or as subject non-different from me. Because both are there in the Shastras. Brahman is first introduced as Jagat Karana. We have seen those discussions. Brahman is introduced as Jagat Karanam first. Here Brahman is taught as an object different from. And it is even said it is within you. Indirectly saying that Brahman is different from me. When something is within you, you are not that. Some object is inside you. It is known to be realized. All those things are said. Of course, there are portions where the Upanishad says, Tattvamasi, I am Atma Brahma, all that also. So here, Brahman is revealed as Atma, myself. For example, Prigdhani Upanishad, first chapter, fourth section, the 10th mantra, Ata yonyam devatam upaste, anyosa vanyohamaspiti nasaveda. This is yourself, that is within all, everyone. And again, third chapter, again, Brindaranika, fourth section, Yeshata Atma Sarvantara. And this is the internal ruler. And your own immortal self. And then, Yeshata Atma Antaryam Amritaha, Antaryami Amritaha. Again, Brindaranika says the same thing. And in Chandogya, it says, Tat Satyam Sa Atma Tattvamasi. That is the self, that is the self, and that you are. So here, Shravana Manana Nididhyasana Vidhi is there. I meditate on Brahman. And the question is, should I do Abheda Dhyanam or Bheda Dhyanam? I hope you understand the context. We had both the things are said in the Upanishads. One is you are different from Atma. Another is you are Atma. So should I do Abheda Dhyanam, no difference, or Bheda Dhyanam? And Vyasacharya says now, we are in Jnana Kanda. And Jnana Kanda wants to give us liberation. There should be no doubt. We are in Jnana Kanda and Jnana Kanda wants to give us liberation. So for moksha, what do we require? We require Vedaha Advaitam and what we need is Aikya Dhyana. Vedaha, do we need Vedaha Advaitam or do we need Aikya Dhyana or Niridhyasana? So in Jnana Kanda, Brahma Jnanam is Abheda Dhyanam. In Jnana Kanda, Brahma Jnanam is Abheda Dhyanam alone, and it is called Nididhyasana. So we can call Nididhyasanam also as Abheda Dhyanam. And one should repeat this thought. Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman. So if sometime the thought crops up in mind, will I get Jivan Mukti? Will sometimes it crops up? Ask the mind which you talk about, control it. And ask the mind to concentrate on Atman and not on the Ahankara. So this I am Aham Brahmasmi thought might come once in a way. Then will I get Jivan Mukti? So Chandogya Upanishad says in the third chapter, 18th section, mind is Brahman. Mano Brahmeti Upasita. Mano Brahma iti Upasita. I the Ahankara comes into picture till you get Jnanam. And after gaining Jnanam, Ahankara thought should go. Ahankara comes into picture till you get Jnana. And after gaining jnanam, ahankara thought should go and think yourself as Brahman alone. Brahman alone, I am Brahman. That's it. In order not to waver the mind in other thoughts, the mind is asked to repeat the thought. I am Brahman all the time. That is called Brahmabhyasa. I have mentioned this also earlier in some other context. What is Brahmabhyasa? It's only this. Brahma Atma Aikya Dhyanam. That is what is suggested here. And the word Upasana here is used in the meaning of Nididhyasana. This also we have mentioned many times. Upasana here means Nididhyasana in this context. And Vyasacharya says that the general introduction is Veda Upasana or Abheda Upasana. Here, Purupakshi says Veda Upasana only, and we say, Siddhantin says, it is Abheda Nididhyasana. We don't say Abheda Upasana, we say Abheda Nididhyasana. And Vyasacharya gives the reason that Shruti's primary teaching is what? Is Aikyam only. Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam only is the primary teaching of Shruti Veda. Atma Brahma Aikyam. It is the Sara of Vedanta, essence of Vedanta. Not only it is the vision of Vedanta, it wants to transfer this vision to you, to us. Not only Veda enjoys the vision, but also tries to transfer the vision onto us. Therefore, it should be Abheda Dhyana. And this sutra is considered to be one of the most important sutras. Look at this, very small sutra. Most important sutras. It reveals Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. Even though Mahavakyam have been discussed elsewhere, also in Brahma Sutra itself, Brahma Sutra in 3rd chapter, 25 to 30th, so sections, the mantras, Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam was revealed. Here the Mahavakyam interpretation is clear and very explicit in this case. Therefore, Shankaracharya writes an elaborate commentary on this sutra. Now let us go to the word analysis of this sutra. Atmeti tu upagacchanti grahayanti cha. Third sutra, first pada, fourth chapter, 480th running Brahma Sutra. Atmeti tu upagacchanti grahayanti cha. Atma iti tu. Iti atma. Brahman should be seen as atma. Tu means because. Upagacchanti. The scriptures accept. Cha grahayanti. They teach also. So the significance of the verse is what? Atma means I, myself, the subject, the Atma. That Atma is Stula Sukshma Shariram. It is Aham, Aham Patalakshyartha, the implied meaning of the word I. Not Shariram, but when we put it this way, Aham Patalakshyartha it is. It is Sakshi Chaitanyam. Ahankara should be subdued, although it is Ahankara that does all the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is done by what? Ahankara. But should be subdued. We should focus only on Atma and not on Ahankara. So we should look at this through the Supra Chaitanya. The Sakshi Chaitanya concept should come. Body consciousness should go. Iti. Iti means in this manner. One should meditate or visualize in this manner. And Avritti Kartavya. That means in this manner you should see Brahman. That is the Kartavya. You see Brahman as myself. And the word tu in this context is taken as reason. The reason is given. Upagacchanti. The scriptures see in this manner. Upagacchanti. It is scripture's vision that Brahman is Atma. Jivatma is Paramatma. It is scripture's vision. Shruti's vision. Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam is the vision of the scriptures. Upanishad is not satisfied in that, but also wants us to see in the manner, in that manner. Upanishad made that statement. That's true. But it also wants us to see in that manner. It wants us to rise at our level. You give up ahankara factor. Eternally you look down upon and postpone to reach Brahman level and seeking Jivan Mukti, Videha Mukti and all that. It's not right. When will you say, I don't care for Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti, all those Muktis, and look to Brahman. I am Brahman. This level jumping is to take place during sadhana. The more I see myself as Brahman, and the joke will be what? One ahankara will get Jivan Mukti or Videha Mukti when millions of ahankara floating in me as Satya. Therefore, Shruti wants to change the channel itself. It should happen sometime in sadhana from ahankara focus to I am Brahman focus. This guru cannot do it for the disciple. He can only orient the thing. Mother cannot run for the child. Child only has to run. Guru can say, change the focus to Atma. That's what he will teach. But the Shishya has to do it. First, I invite you showing Ahankara again. And in the end, I show you Brahman. And ask you to forget Ahankara. And transcend the Ahankara obsession. So this is the significance of these words. Actually, in the fourth sutra, a Brahma Sutra in Tattu Samanvayat, I mentioned we spent a lot of time discussing this sutra at that time. We have discussed this matter elaborately. Those ideas we have to briefly remember here. If you have time, you can go to Dao's lectures for the fourth sutra, a Brahma Sutra, first chapter, first pada. That will also refresh our orientation. We said that this is an important adhikaranam because nowhere else the explicit Mahavakya is available in Brahma Sutra. We said this being an important topic, Shankaracharya spent some time in writing a bigger commentary on this sutra. This also I mentioned. So let us see some more points also. The first question that arises in the mind that in Veda's vision, what is Veda's vision? Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam is the vision of it. Naturally, we will say the scriptures talk about Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. Because that is Veda's vision. So, Shruti Vedic scriptures, that is they talk about Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. And the Purvapakshi, he raises the question that the scriptures talk about Veda also, and how can you conclude Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam? We have gone through a similar discussion earlier. Scriptures talk about Veda also. And how can you conclude Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam only is talked about by Shruti? Not only Veda Vakyams and Abheda Vakyams are there are Veda Abheda Vakyams also. Veda Abheda Vakyams are also there. We have seen all that thing. We at that time mentioned that Veda Abheda, that concept is similar to Shastra and all that. Otherwise, and the Amsa, Amsi Vakyams are also there. The Amsha and Amsi, all these things I have mentioned earlier. And Jivatma being part of Paramatma and part not totally identical, not totally different also, it's a part. Part is not totally identical. And it is not totally different also. Amsha is different also and also identical both. For example, if you take New Jersey, it's part of United States. And New Jersey is not total United States also. For the Shankaracharya says, this topic has been discussed and completed already. In the fourth sutra, Tattu Samanvayat, we ask the question. This is the vision of the Shastra that we call it Tatparyam. Which one scriptures focus upon and which one scriptures don't want to focus upon. All those discussions we made by using six indicators. We have arrived at the Upakrama Upasamhara that the Tatparyam is Abheda and not Bheda in the fourth sutra. So, Aikyeva Tatparyam Natu Bedeva Veda Bedeva. And another interesting Purvapakshi, which we have not discussed there in the Tattu Samanvayat, that we can discuss briefly see now. If you talk about Jiva and Ishvara, there will be serious problem. The problem, he says, if Ishvara is equated with Jiva, Ishvara Abhava Prasangaha, that means there is no Ishvara. Ishvara is Jiva only. And there will be no God also. And do you want to degrade yourself? Because Jiva, you are God. And now you are saying you are not God, no God at all. So if you equate Jiva to Ishvara, Ishvara is Ishvara. Jiva is also Ishvara. Then there will be only Ishvara and Jiva Abhava Prasanga it will become. So if you negate Ishvara, it will be Ishvara Abhava Prasangaha. And if you negate Jiva, Jiva Abhava Prasanga. So all the Jivas will be Ishvara and Ishvara is Ishvara. And if there is no Jiva at all, Shastra Anarthakya Prasangaha. No Shastra is required for Ishvara. For whom you need Shastras? You need Shastra for Jivas only. So there is no need for Shastra for Ishvara. There is no need for Ishvara to read any Shastra. Shastra will become redundant itself. Therefore, you should not talk about Jiva, Ishvara, Aikyam. You see how he comes from. There is no need of a class If at all, if all are Ishwaras, if all of us are Ishwaras, where is the need for Brahma Sutra class? Generally, they raise the question and they don't listen to the answer. Purupakshi, what he does, he raises, a lot of people are like that. They raise a question, they will never listen to the answer. They raise the question, they think their duty is to only raise a question and leave the answer for the rest of the class. But for our satisfaction, we have the answer. We will ask whether you ask from Vyavakarika Drishti or from Paramarthika Drishti. The same thing will come, the Drishti. Like asking, is dream world is there or not, for example. Are you talking from dreamer's angle or from the waker's angle? From dreamer's angle, it is there, very much there. And from waker's angle, it is not there. If Purupakshi says, I talk from Vyavaharika Drishti and Jiva Ishwara Beda is there, if he says, from Vyavaharika Drishti, if he says, I talk from Vyavaharika Drishti, it is there. Jiva is Jiva, Ishwara is Ishwara, Jiva does Namaskara to Ishwara, and Ishwara has got to receive the Namaskara, and Ishwara also, he also becomes his samsari, and therefore Jiva requires Shastra, and Jiva has to gain Jnanam, and Jiva has to gain Moksha also. So we have Vyavahara Shastram to get Vyavahara Mukti. See, to get Vyavahara Mukti, we have Vyavahara Shastram. Then why do you talk about Aikyam at all? Aikyam is from Paramarthika Drishti only. Like waker looking at dream, the vision changes. Therefore, Aikyam is presented from absolute angle and Paramarthika Drishtiya Abheda Darshanam is prescribed. That is the problem now. Now the question comes, so once you say the vision is from Paramarthika Drishti or Vyavaharika Drishti, then you have the problem, you have no problem, we have answered that. Then next question will be, after Paramarthika Darshanam, will Vyavahara Darshanam continue or not? Vyavahara Darshanam, will it continue or not? After gaining the knowledge of oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma with absolute angle, will Vyavahara Beda continue or not? Is the question. So Vyavahara Beda will have to continue even after Paramarthika Darshanam, and from Vyavahara Drishtyam, he will continue to be a Jiva. And after Paramarthika Darshanam, if he continues to be, Vyavahara Beda is there, what is the benefit for the Jiva at all? This is the question posed by Purupakshi. After Paramarthika Darshanam, if he still continues to be in Vyavahara Beda, what is the benefit of this for the Jiva at all? Including Guru's body, the difference continues. The Guru who taught you, his body and your bodies are also different. Shankaracharya says, even though Vyavahara will continue, its impact and significance will come down from higher plane, just as value of dream comes down once you wake up. That significance, its impact, they come down. From Paramarthika Drishti, the Vyavahara problems will become insignificant. Don't say they will go away. They will become insignificant. The situation remaining same, its impact will come down. That means overpowering it. That knowledge will overpower all these practical issues. Just like a candle light on the road, its impact will be very, very less. So from the distance, you will see the power of the candle. Suppose the sun rises, and in the afternoon, if the candle is there on the road, you will not see the existence of the candle at all. It will be overpowered by the sunlight. Therefore, Vyavahara Beda is there. And in Vyavahara Avastha only, we get the Jnanam of Paramarthika plane also. Vyavahara Avastha only, we get the Jnanam in the Paramarthika plane. Jnanam belongs to the mind. And Jnanam is Vyavahara. And it deals with Paramarthika. It will reduce the Vyavahara Beda cost problem. What are problems are caused by the Vyavahara Beda, Jnanam will reduce all those problems. Therefore, remaining in Vyavahara Avastha, perceiving Vyavahara Beda lifts the two. I lift one to the third eye of Paramarthika Abheda Darshanam and remove the samsara of Vyavahara. The removal is Mithyatva Darshan. Falsification is the aim. So, Paramarthika Drishtiyam, Atma Brahma Aikya. Vyavahara Drishtiyam, they are not. Now, let us go to the next sutra. So, third topic, Pratikadhikaranam is the title of the topic. Pratikadhikaranam. ఇట్ ఆల్సో హ్యాస్ వన్ సూత్ర. నా ప్రతీకే నహి సహ, నా ప్రతీకే నహి సహ, ఫోర్త్ సూత్ర, ఫస్ట్ పాద ఫోర్త్ చాప్టర్, 481st రన్నింగ్ టైమ్ సూత్ర. అండ్ దిస్ అండ్ ద ఫాలోయింగ్ టూ సూత్రాస్ దే ఎగ్జామిన్ ద వాల్యూ ఆఫ్ అ ప్రతీక ఆర్ సింబల్. లింగం ఇస్ ఆల్సో సింబల్, ప్రతీక ఇస్ ఆల్సో సింబల్, సింబల్ టు వర్షిప్. Now let us see the general introduction of this small adhikaranam. This is the third adhikaranam of this chapter, of this pada, and with only one sutra. And it is based on the prominent word in the sutra. What is the prominent word? Pratika. So pratika upasana. That is the topic. It is an incidental topic though that comes out of the previous adhikaranam. Upanishad is meditation on various devatas. Upanishad talks about meditation on various devatas. And for the sake of devata jnanam, Shastra prescribes certain symbols, pratikams and all symbols, as I told you, to help, because they are not visible. The devatas are not visible directly, and they are just abstract principles. So you need a symbol to symbolize the devata, and it is called alambana. These words are very familiar to you. I have used it many times. So alambanam is symbol to worship invisible devata. Shivalinga is a symbol to worship Lord Shiva. Saligrama is a symbol to worship Lord Vishnu. So one is pratima alambanam, the symbol like a statue where a clear-cut human form or features are available. You have a vigraha. This is a pratima. We have clear descriptions also. When the alambanam has got clear features, we call it pratima alambanam. The second is pratika alambanam, where we don't have clear avayavam, the parts or features like saligrama or a mount of turmeric powder. You make a small, this image of turmeric powder. So there, it's called pratika alambanam. So if it is pratima alambanam, it is like vigraha and all that. When it is If it's a pratima, if it is going to be pratikam, it is going to be a thing like saligrama and shivalinga. And you do puja on the flame and the lamp. They all come under pratika only. So that the flame of the lamp also can be considered as a pratika. Some are sound principles also. Sometimes various Veda mantras are taken as symbol, sound principles. It is like Vyakriti Upasana. Om Bhuhu Bhuvaha Subaha. Bhur Bhuva Subaha is the Vyakriti. So Vyakriti Upasana is there. The mantras themselves are the pratika. Shabda can be pratikam, rupam can be pratikam. Various pratika upasanas are said in the Vedas. Various devatas are also taken as the pratikam, like Agni, Aditya Devata, Varuna Devata. They are all given in the Vedas. And we find in some of the pratika upasanas, we talk about Brahma Upasanam also, wherein the Upasya Devata is Brahman. Upasya Devata is Brahman. You look at these words. Brahman becomes Upasya Devata during Upasana. And Shankaracharya, he gives some examples also in Chandogya Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 18th section, 1st mantra, and 19th section also, 1st mantra. He says, Mano Brahmeti Upasita Ityat Atmam Athadi Devatam Akashe Brahmeti. So all these things is Adityo Brahmeti Adeshaha Tatsya Upavyakhyanam Asatyeva Idamagra Asi. All these mantras are given in Chandogya. So those lectures you can refer to those mantras if you want in detail. And in the Bhuma Vidya, 7th chapter of Chandogya, there are 13 Brahma Pratika Upasanas are given. Even Pancha Bhutas are taken as pratikams, as symbols. And we'll talk one particular example. May you meditate upon Aditya as Brahma. Let us take that one example, even though so many are given in the Upanishad. We'll take one. So may you meditate upon Aditya as Brahma. Here also, since Brahma Upasanam upon Aditya Pratikam is prescribed, it does not have hands and other features. Yes, the Pratikam. It's not a Pratima. Pratima means Vigraha. Here there is no Pratikam. It's a Pratikam. No hand, no legs and all. I have not come to the controversy actually. Once the Shruti talks about Aditya Upasana, it means Upasana is also Pratyaya Avritti, repetition of the thought. Upasana is also repetition of the thought only. Here only we come to the controversy. When the Upanishad says, may you do Brahma Pratyaya Avritti, in such instance should we come to Atma, for the previous sutra, we equate Brahman to Atma. For example, because then it says Brahma Pratyaya Avritti. You are now, Brahma becomes the Upasya Devata, as I just mentioned. So you go on doing repetition of the thought on Brahman. So if Brahman is Atma, from the previous sutra, we equate Brahman to Atma. So if in Nididhyasanam, Brahma Pratyaya Avritti is in the form of I am. Should we extend the principle of Brahma Pratyaya Upasana? Should I look upon Aditya as Brahman or should I look Aditya as myself? Hope you understand. Should I do Aditya as the Pratikam? Should I look upon Aditya as Brahman or should I look Aditya as myself? Atma, myself and Brahman are one and the same. Now I'm doing Upasana. So should I look upon Brahman as Aditya as Brahman or Aditya as myself? That is the question. Therefore, the controversy is Aditya Brahma Darshanam or Aditya Brahma Atma Darshanam. Should I look at Aditya as myself or different from myself? Aditya is Brahman and I am also Brahman. I am Brahman. Should I meditate upon Aditya as myself or not? Whether Aditya Pratika Upasana is Beda Upasana or Abheda Upasana. I hope you are with me. This is the question. The answer here is, Purupakshi is going to say it is Abheda Drishti. Purupakshi is going to say it is Abheda Drishti. We will say it is Beda Drishti. Siddhanti will say it is Beda Drishti. There should be Dvaitam according to Siddhanti here. It looks as though Vedanta is interested in negating others. What is the secret behind it? The secret is, from Paramarthika Drishti, we should talk of Abheda only, and Vyavahara Drishti, we should talk about Veda only. In Vyavahara Drishti, everyone talks of Abheda. Here, in Paramarthika Drishti, if everyone talks of Veda, we will condemn. From Paramarthika Drishti, Vyavahara Drishti, everybody talks about, they can talk about Abheda, no problem. Yeah, they are in Veda, they can talk about Abheda. Whereas in Paramarthika Drishti, if everyone talks of Veda, then we will condemn. Because in Paramarthika Drishti, everything is Abheda. So from Paramarthika Drishti, we are pro Advaitam. And from Vyavaharika Drishti, we are pro Dvaitam. So Purvapakshi says Abheda and he says Abheda and Siddhanta says it is Veda. Now let us come to the general analysis of the sutra. In Pratika Darshanam, it should be Beda Darshanam only. In Pratika Darshanam, understand, we should be very clear. It is Pratika Darshanam. In this Upasana, Pratika Darshanam, it should be Beda Darshanam only. And there are three factors and all the three should be seen distinctly. And what are those three factors? The Upasaka, the meditator, is different from Jivatma. The Upasya Devata Brahma is different. The Sagunam Brahma Ishwara. We should use our discretion here. Brahma is Sagunam Brahma here in Upasana. Who is Upasya Devata? Upasya Devata in the Upasanam. Upasana is the Brahman is Sagunam Brahma. So Karma Pala Data is that. And I, the Upasaka, am different. The Karma Karta. And the third factor is the symbol is very much different. It may be a Shaligrama, it may be a Shivalinga. Therefore, Upasaka is different from Upasya and both are different from Pratika. Symbol is also different, both are also different. Division is there at the time of Upasana. When you do the Upasana, there is this difference. This Upasaka is Ajnani Upasaka only. This Upasaka is Ajnani Upasaka only. He is preparing for Jnanam and therefore he is an Ajnani only now. Therefore, in Karma Kanda, we are Ajnanis. And the divisions are there. Therefore, Brahma Pratyaya Avritti, and I visualize upon any symbol, I have to do that. The conclusion is what? All Pratika Upasanas are Beda Upasanas, except an exceptional Upasana in which the symbol for invoking the Lord is I myself, the body mind complex. Hope you are with me. All Pratika Upasanas are Beda Upasanas. Except an exceptional Upasana in which the symbol for invoking the Lord is I myself. I invoke, for example, God as Bhavani as myself, Lord Krishna as myself. In Sandhyavandana Karma, I invoke myself. This thought is Abheda Pratyaya. There are certain Pratyaya Upasanas which we call Ahangraha Upasana, and Pratik Upasanas are Veda Pratyaya Avritti only. It's called Ahangraha Upasana. Now the next question is, when I am doing Abheda Pratyaya Avritti, Abheda, in Ahangraha Upasana, will it come under Upasana or Dididhyasana? We will call it, we call normally Vedantic meditation, we call it Nididhyasana. Now we are putting the Abheda Pratyaya Avritti in Ahangraha Upasana. Will it come under Upasana or Nididhyasana? Here also Abheda Pratyaya is there. We say they are different. Even though Ahangraha Upasana has Abheda thought, Nididhyasana also has got Abheda thought. Thought will be same, but cannot be treated as same. This is called Upasana and that is called Nididhyasana. That is the difference. Even though Ahangraha Upasana has Abheda thought, Nididhyasana also has got Abheda thought. Thought will be same, cannot be treated same, because this is called Upasana, Ahangraha Upasana, and the other one is called Nididhyasana. Which is Upasana and which is Niyasana, Nididhyasana? Before Vedantic study, when I visualize I am God, it is an imagination. Before Vedantic study, when I visualize I am God, Ahangraha Upasana, it is an imagination, it is not a fact for me. That imagination thought, that is called Ahangraha Upasana. I hope the concept of Ahangraha Upasana is clear. When I visualize I am God, Ahangraha Upasana, that is an imagination only. It is not a fact for me. The imagination thought is called Ahangraha Upasana. Imagination is not a thought. After thorough Vedantic study, when I do Pratyaya Avritti, I am the infinite and it is not an imagination for me, it is a fact for me. After thorough Vedantic study. When the vritti is repeated as fact, it is Nididhyasana. Now I hope we are clear. When the vritti is repeated as fact, it is Nididhyasana. When vritti is repeated as imagination, it is Ahangraha Upasana. In Pratika Upasana, there is no Abheda Dhyana. And there is Bheda Dhyana. Pratika Upasana and Ahangraha Upasana and Nididhyasana, the three words one should understand properly. We are talking of three types of meditations. That is, Pratika Upasana is one meditation, Ahangraha Upasana is another, Nididhyasana is another. And we want to establish in Pratika Upasana, Brahma Pratika Avritti is there. And there is object difference. And there is, it is Bheda Upasana. It's a Bheda Upasana. In Pratyeka Upasana, it is Bheda Upasana. But in Ahangraha Upasana, there is also Brahma Pratyaya Avritti is there. And here, Brahman is oneself. And therefore, it is Abheda Dhyana. The previous is Bheda Upasana. Next one is Abheda. And in Nididhyasana, also Brahma Pratyaya Avritti is there. And here also, I see Brahman on myself. And therefore, Nididhyasana also happens to be Abheda Dhyana. One Bheda Dhyanam and two Abheda Dhyanams. Right? And now the question comes, why you call one as Ahangraha Upasana and the other as Nididhyasana? What is the basis difference? In Ahangraha Upasana, the Upasaka does not know that I am Brahman. Upasaka here is ignorant, Ajnani. He has not studied Vedanta and he has not done Mahavakya Vichara and therefore does not know I am Brahma. Still he repeats the thought, I am Brahma, without knowing I am Brahma. And therefore for him, I am Brahman is not a fact, but it is only an imagination. And therefore it will be called Ahangraha Upasana. And in this Upasana, Aikyam is an imagination and not a fact. But Aham Brahma as me is Nididhyasanam, and the person here who does the Nididhyasanam has done Mahavakya Shravanam. And Mahavakya Mananam, it is a crystal clear fact to him. And therefore, he reminds himself of obtaining the fact. Aham Brahmasmi. It is self-reminder he does. Self-reminder. Nididhyasanam is self-reminder of already obtained fact. I am Brahman is an already obtained fact. I only remind myself which fact I am convinced already through Vedantic Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. Therefore, it comes under jnana. In Ahangraha Upasana, Abheda Dhyanam is there, but one is on imagination and the other it is reminder of the fact. In this Adhikarana, Vyasacharya establishes that Pratika Upasana is different from both Ahangraha Upasana and Nididhyasana. Pratika Upasana is neither Ahangraha Upasana nor Nididhyasanam. Therefore, it doesn't come under Abheda Dhyanam at all and comes under Veda Dhyanam. Aditya Brahma Upasita comes under Veda Dhyana. That is a sentence we talked for discussion here, and that comes under Veda Dhyana only. May you look upon sun as Brahman. If Aditya Pratika Brahman will not come under Ahangraha Upasanam and Nididhyasanam, we have to give reasons for that also. Why it is Nididhyasanam? It is so because firstly it comes under Upasana Kanda. And therefore Brahman mentioned here is Sagunam Brahman only. Upasya Devata is Saguna Brahman and Upasaka is Saguna Jivatma, and therefore Upasya Devata and Upasaka are different. Because Upasya Devata has different gunas and Upasaka has different gunas, and therefore they cannot take. Therefore it cannot be Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam will come only in the after Vedantinya. Aikya Asambhavade Nididhyasanam Nabhavati. And the second reason is the Upasaka is a sadhaka, and through Upasana he is working for Jnana Yogyata. And after that he has to do Vedanta Vichara. And thereafter he has to become a Jnani. And therefore he comes under Ajnani category only until that. It is said every Upasaka is an unfortunate samsari being an Ajnani. Since he is an Ajnani, he cannot practice Nididhyasanam, since the later is Pratijnani. Nididhyasanam for me. So Pratika Upasanam, Nididhyasanam, Navavati. This is the argument to establish Pratika Upasanam is not Nididhyasanam. So why do we say Pratika Upasanam is different from Ahangraha Upasana? We will see maybe details of that thing and all. Because I have to still give some more discussions here. So I will do that in the next class, that is tomorrow. Yovedadau sarapto vedante cha pratishtitara. तस्य प्रतिपिलिनस्य परसमहेश्वरः श्रीकृष्णः पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु